Every season for Where Should We Begin, I receive thousands of applicants. And one of the most frustrating things is that I'm only going to be able to see 10 couples. And I've been grappling with this. How can I connect with more of you? There are so many powerful questions, so many pain points that I would like to be able to at least address with you, even if shortly. So this series is going to be different. It's you calling me with a very precise question, with your pain point, me calling you back, and together we think out loud. And we go from where should we begin to where can you start? This episode of Where Should We Begin is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Get your quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Cult Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
So you wrote the question or you recorded the question, but if you could ask it to me again as we speak today.
I'm wondering if I'm being gaslit by my partner or if it's a case that I'm just being overly sensitive. Mm-hmm. I feel like that I get certain treatment when we're alone that feels very hidden. But, you know, in speaking to him, he says, I'm overly sensitive, that like I'm overly boundaried and that I actually, it's more that I'm treating him badly and he gets like angry at me for me being kind of bad. And he admits that sometimes his behavior isn't great and he's working on it and he's worked a lot on it. I just have no idea if I'm basically a bad person and if I'm treating him like crap and not being sensitive to him, because that's what it sounds like.
So tell me something. Let's just go a little bit back. Okay. How did you come to formulate the question the way you do? What is the history of your relationship that led you to this question? Am I being gaslit or am I overly sensitive?
So he has a tendency. So, for example, over New Year's, we went away together. We were in the car and I wasn't feeling well. And he just kept on like shouting at me and kind of giving out to me and telling me that I wasn't being nice to him. And he was shouting at me. And originally I thought he was kind of joking. And I was like, yeah, no, I am. But I was quite premenstrual at the time. And I was menstruating and I felt awful, so I was just kind of a bit of a curmudgeon and I was like, yeah, I know I feel bad, just let me feel bad, I know where I am, like this is grand. And he just kept on shouting like, you're not being nice to me. Ooh. And like we were literally going to our friend's doorstep And like, he just left me there and was just acted like everything was perfectly normal. And it seems to often be as well with social settings, that we'll be going out and he'll do something to pull the rug out from underneath me and be like, what's your problem? Another example is I was at therapy and I came back and I wasn't feeling particularly great. You know, we had been talking about boundaries because I do have concerns that my boundaries aren't very good. And it's something that I work on.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? That's a big statement, you know?
So, yeah.
And one in which only you know what you mean by it.
Yeah. So I know that I don't necessarily know how to put up boundaries. I was in a job before. Basically, I worked myself to a state of very poor health. And a lot of that had to do with working with someone who wouldn't let me say no. So no matter how much I was like, I'm not available, they just kept on pushing me. And also that particular industry and that particular job, there was a real need for me. There was nobody else to do the job. I had to travel and move and I was exhausted. But because there was such a need for me, I let myself, I suppose, but I felt like I didn't have a choice. I let myself just get torn into that and away from my life and away from the people that I care about. And eventually I got to a point where I completely burnt out.
And you're telling me this also because in some way something parallel is happening between you and your boyfriend?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You are on the verge of burnout. If I ask you, you know, because you say, am I being gaslit or am I overly sensitive? Which, of course, is what people who are gaslit often end up feeling.
Yeah.
Is that they are being overly sensitive, that they are not clear, that they're doubting themselves, that they're confused, that they no longer trust their own sanity.
Yeah.
You know, you went to look for the definition of what being gaslit means?
I definitely looked it up at some point, but I don't quite remember it at this moment.
So let me, you know, without even defining the term, if you're telling me I'm in a relationship where I don't trust that what I think has validity, I find myself often saying I feel something and then I'm being blamed for the very thing that I just uttered. The blame is constantly shifting. I am accused of being the gaslighter and then I end up completely confused and it makes me question the situation. And it's like, you know, what we call in my field projective identification. You know, you are telling me that I'm doing to you what you're exactly doing to me.
Yeah.
I distrust myself.
Yeah.
I begin to question my mental health because you keep telling me that my mental health is not steady.
Yeah.
Or something happens and you tell me that's not what happened.
Yeah.
Or that it is your fault if it happened.
Yeah.
Or that I'm doing these things and I'm saying these mean things because I actually am trying to help you.
Yeah.
Or that it's not such a big deal. So what if you're menstruating? That shouldn't explain why you're treating me the way you are. Or that you're overthinking it. Or that when I mean I was just joking. Or that you're too emotional. These are kind of 7 common gaslighting phrases.
Yeah.
You know, if any of these are continuously occurring to you, or if you simply, even without that, say, you know, I am constantly questioning myself, I'm constantly doubting myself, I'm constantly in a state of confusion, et cetera, then the answer to your question doesn't really matter. What you know is that this is not a good situation.
But the thing is, like, that's the thing is, like,
now you're going to give me the other side. But we also have nice times. But when I'm about to pull away, he apologizes profusely and he promises that he will change, that he's working on it and that this will never be happening again until 2 hours later. And now you're going to seesaw back and forth in the ambivalence. You know, here are all these things. But maybe what if what he says has validity and is true?
Yeah.
And maybe I am indeed so insecure. And maybe I do indeed have a problem with boundaries, which of course I'm having with him too. And so in the end, maybe he knows me better than I know myself.
Yeah.
And when I say I'm hungry, he says, no, you're not really hungry. You shouldn't be hungry right now. And I'm beginning to wonder, well, maybe then I'm not hungry.
Yeah. That's literally like what happens. I'll be like, oh, let's get some food. And he'll be like, no, no. I'm like, well, I need something. And I'll end up getting like a protein bar, something to tide me over until we're eating. And then he'll be like, oh, yeah, by the way, while you went into the shop to get a protein bar, I got a chicken sandwich. And I'm just like, what? But it's, yeah, it comes from everywhere. It feels very controlling.
It's either reality manipulation, scapegoating, coercion, or straight-up lying. Those are probably four of the main gaslighting tactics. Shifting blames would be another. When you shift the blame is another common tactic. And the interesting thing as I listen to you is you have the answer to your question. Every time you give me another example to reinforce that you actually know what's happening.
But the thing is that, like, he has shown me in so many ways that he does love me. And he, like, we have honestly the best time. He's my best friend in the world. Like, I don't know how to lose him. And like, that's the thing, is like, I see him as a really good person. I see him as like a really kind and warm and friendly. And if you see him with his friends, he is incredible, like incredible. Like, it's so, so confusing. Exactly. Again, but then he turns around and does that to me. But he honestly, that's the thing. I'm just like, I wish that I could wash it off.
No, a question I would ask him,
yeah,
is who did this to you and nobody stopped them? Who did you see do this in your family, yeah, and nobody stopped them?
I feel like that would really be really hard for him, and I would be worried about not challenging. I think it would, for him, something like that would be.
But do you know?
I'd imagine I have an idea.
That's my question. My question is, you know, he may be a wonderful friend, but that does not dictate how he's going to be with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Those two things don't necessarily always go in sync. And I would ask him, where did he learn this? And who did he see do this? And who never stopped it? And I would then ask you this parallel question. Mm-hmm. This, of course, is not a question you're going to ask him, but I'm asking that to you because you probably know him. How long are you together?
2 years.
Okay. And then I'm going to ask you, who did you see in such a dynamic? Where did you learn not to be able to say no? Because this is not about, am I being gaslit or am I being overly sensitive? Without defining, you know, without focusing just on these two terms, you've described the reality. And then you say, but he loves me, and that may very much be the case as well.
Mm.
But he also needs to control you.
Yeah.
But he's also intensely insecure, and therefore he needs you to be one down.
Yeah.
But he also has a hard time hearing you say, I'm hungry, without instantly denying it or defying you, or qualifying it, or deciding if you have a right to be hungry at this moment or not, because he knows better than you what your stomach needs. So regardless of how much he loves you, he still would need to learn to differentiate and to be able to let you have an experience and respond caringly and compassionately to it without having to decide if your experience is valid or not before he decides how he wants to respond, because he's the master and the judge.
Oh my God. Yeah. That is qualifying my experience. That's it. It's like every single experience I have, all of my friendships, all of my work, it's like it's being qualified. That's exactly it. And like being like, you're doing this right and you're doing that wrong. It's like being stuck in a box. And the thing is that I know that I am brilliant and I have beautiful friendships and I was excellent at that job and I'm excellent at most things that you put in front of me. And I feel that really deeply. I know what I'm doing and I care about myself. And I've had to do a lot of work on myself and I'm continuing to learn and all of, you know, I'm conscious of where I go up and where I go down. But
and if you had a friend, since you have very good friends, if one of your friends was in a situation that is similar to yours, what would you say?
Just step away. It's not, it does, just doesn't, it's not that easy. It just doesn't. We're completely entwined in each other's lives as well.
Mm-hmm. And then what would you say to your friend? So your friend says, it's not that easy. We've got our lives completely intertwined with each other. I've invested 2 years of my life here. I know he loves me, but I'm being obliterated. I'm losing my mind. I'm continuously put in a situation where I have to doubt myself.
Mm. Yeah, I'd be like, I'll take care of you. I don't know.
Support for Where Should We Begin comes from Progressive. Most of us are listening to the podcast and multitasking. You may be driving, shopping, exercising, taking a walk. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else that you can do right now, which is to get a quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy and you can save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who switch to Progressive save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers can qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Get a quote for your car insurance at progressive.com to join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Support for Where Should We Begin comes from Squarespace. Squarespace is an all-in-one platform that you can use to build a website and help people find your ventures. Whether you're seeking a location for your podcast, teaching language courses, or selling handcrafted ceramics, Squarespace has all the tools you need to create a home on the web. You can create a polished, professional place that connects people with whatever you are excited about. Squarespace also supports all forms of connecting with those people. Whether you're selling products online or in person or offering memberships, you can make your website look exactly how you want it to be. They even have tools that help you create a custom logo. And they make it easy to create a place where people can schedule an appointment with you, browse your services, or learn more about why you do what you do. Visit squarespace.com/Esther for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use offer code Esther to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Have you spoken with your girlfriends or your friends, period?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't like to speak badly about him because they all know him. So I want, you know, to honor the relationship in a way. I've spoken to my sister a bit.
And has anybody said, keep going?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I had one friend who was like, had flagged it early. And when she flagged it, that was also the time, literally the same day when I had the breakdown for work, or the day that I got literally a cert from my doctor being like, you can't go to work anymore, you can't do that job anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not sleeping through the night, and I was like literally talking to him about it, and he was like, well, I'm thinking about maybe we should break up. So he nearly always, when I'm at a level of like peak stress, he'll put something else on top. And then I never went back to work after that.
So if you are struggling with something, he will trump you. If you bring up a feeling, he'll bring up another one that is he thinks in that moment is more important than the one you just brought up.
Yeah, every single time. So that boundary, when I was talking about that boundaries thing, he flipped when I was back from the therapist, and I was just like literally standing in the kitchen being like, I just need to eat some dinner. So I was like, right, I'm just going to make myself some food. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to nourish my body. And I was like, okay, I just need, you know, I'm a bit weird right now. I just need a little bit of space because I blah, blah, blah. And then he started at me and I was like, no, I can't handle this right now. I've explained the fact that I'm feeling very vulnerable. I'm just like letting you know that. And he was in a great mood when I came in. And then suddenly he turned and then he started shouting at me and shouting at me. And I was like, stop shouting at me. And then he freaked out about me not understanding what a boundary was, me turning my boundaries against him. And then he made me, we had this long discussion about what qualifies shouting or not. And then we literally got into the depths of like, right, what shouting, what the semiotics of the word shouting is to both of us. And then he made me say that he hadn't been shouting at me in terms of the way that he understands the word shouting.
So you cover all four, right? You cover the coercive strategies, you cover the shifting of the blame, you cover the questioning of your reality, you cover the manipulation, the disqualifying. So you've answered your question.
Yeah.
What has made it so difficult for you to know that you have to go or to act on it? Where does your challenge come from in terms of saying no, in terms of saying this is I know I need to do and I'll deal with the consequences? In fact, I'll be liberated. I'll suddenly realize how much I've been hijacked and what kind of a hostage situation this has been. And I will be able to once again liberate myself with my friends. And then my friends are going to start telling me how they had noticed it, that and the other. And I'm going to say, how come you never told me? And they'll tell me, we kept trying to tell you, but you couldn't hear it because you were completely enveloped in this saga.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I know that you're right. I know that.
You're brilliant. You know. You've answered your questions. You have your answer. This is not a question of discernment. This is a question of you've tried it before. You may try it again. He's going to beg you. He's going to plead you. He's going to be his best self for half an hour. And he may be a perfectly good, kind person.
Yeah.
But he's got some things to deal with if he's going to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
And so do you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's the thing is like, I'm like, if I've tried so hard, you know, and I'm 35, I've been in enough relationships. And like, he genuinely has worked a lot on himself. And I can see how he's come along in a big way.
Do you know what?
What?
I don't know what you mean. Because every example you've given shows me somebody who has very little ability to see what he does. And of course, for any gaslighter, there must be a person that is letting themselves be gaslit.
Yeah.
These two go together.
Yeah.
But there hasn't been a situation where you describe him saying, I realize, I notice, I take responsibility, I'm sorry, I was projecting, I was dumping.
He has.
None of it.
Well, he has done that.
I mean, when you leave?
No, I mean, I think that's the thing about, we do talk after these things happen. Like, I've been listening to you forever. I never knew that he knew about you, and he sent me something, like one of your YouTube videos about like when couples get to an impasse, and he was like, let's look at this and let's talk about this based on the tools that are there. And like, I really appreciate that. I can see him trying. But the thing is, we're actually at a point right now where we're not really speaking, and I asked for the keys back for my flat after everything that happened that I've been kind of talking about recently. It was too much.
I mean, that piece of your excusing him and analyzing and justifying and excusing his behavior is part of the gaslit cycle.
Okay.
He's doing this, but he doesn't really mean to do this. He feels bad about it afterwards. And so now I need to make him feel better about him making me feel bad.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
This is twisted.
Completely twisted, because I was on the phone to him yesterday. I wanted to let him know that I was going to be speaking to you because I thought that was respectful. I also was like, look, in the long run, like, I feel like we've been kind of running on kind of what I want. I just want to know what you want. And then, of course, it came back around to how much all of his friends told him that, like, he's great. And then I, of course, was like, well, you're a great person, and I want you to know that you're a good person. And I do think that, but it still comes around to, like, having this treatment, and I still seem to be the person going to him, telling him that he's good. And then I'm the bad guy again.
And does that come from him as well? You're a wonderful person?
No. I guess you're a lovely person.
You're a lovely person. Okay. If you are indeed such close friends, and if he's indeed such a wonderful person, then you may want to find this relational structure that will actually highlight that. Being his friend may give you much more of the wonderful qualities that he has than being his girlfriend.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
At least for right now. So he can stay in your life. It's not clear that he will. Generally, when that dynamic occurs, it's more common that the person will be more vindictive and not want anything to do with you. They'll try, they'll come back until they finally realize that maybe they're not going to get what they want, and then they'll say, fuck you.
Yeah.
But if he does stay, have him in your life, but have him in the structure of relationship that gives you access to the best qualities that he has. If he's such a wonderful friend, be a friend.
But I love him. And like
that is a wonderful thing, but that doesn't mean you need to make a life in that dynamic.
Yeah.
It doesn't change if people don't actively take ownership over what they do to create this kind of dynamic. And that means you and him.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Support for Where Should We Begin comes from Factor. For many of us, eating healthy, delicious meals means spending too much time in the kitchen and too much money at the grocery store. Factor is here to help. Factor takes the stress out of eating well with chef-prepared, ready-to-eat meals delivered right to your door. Pick from a weekly menu of 35 different meals ready to go from your front door to your dinner table in less than 2 minutes. Factor let me try one of their meals at my home, and I picked the masala chickpea mash and grilled chicken with spinach, cumin roasted cauliflower, and raita yogurt sauce. It was the end of the week, I didn't feel like cooking, and I had a beautiful meal. I also loved starting my morning with their juices. Head to factormeals.com/Esther50 and use code Esther50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Esther50 at factormeals.com/Esther50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
One of the reasons that I contacted you is I know that I'm autonomous in this relationship, but it's really hard to admit that I've let somebody walk all over me and that I haven't been strong enough to tell them to piss off. It makes me question myself so much more.
Mm-hmm. Which is one of the reasons why these dynamics sometimes go on for a long time. Because he has his denial. His denial is to shift the blame on you. But you have your denial, which is, this isn't really happening. I could walk away at any time. I am a strong woman. I am autonomous. Nobody tells me what to do like that. Mm. But in fact, that's not what's happening. So it's one denial meeting another denial, so to speak.
Yeah. I hear you.
And when you just say, but I love him, so what? I mean, I hear you. It's a deep feeling. But the question remains, and what do you want to do that your feelings of love are mired into a relationship that is ultimately going to make you lose your entire sense of yourself?
Yeah.
So you will continue to say, I love him, but the I will have dissolved in the process.
Yeah.
It's not easy. You're going to surround yourself with friends, and you're going to have to be honest with your friends and let them know what's going on. Not by blaming him, but by telling them that you found yourself in a relationship where instead of increasingly becoming bolder and stronger and more recognized, it's all the reverse that is happening. And that's not because of what he does only. If on the other end you say, I want to do some couples work and I want us to both go and deal with this dynamic, go ahead. It won't change alone. Somebody has to see this in action to be able to intervene.
Yeah.
Each of you will make perfect sense when you talk alone to your own respective therapists.
Yeah. Couples counseling is on the cards right now. We've seen a couples counselor before and it didn't... She wasn't great. And my concern is that he's gonna charm them. And he's not going to show the truth of the dynamic when there's another person present.
then you'll put that on the table too.
Yeah. Yeah.
A good clinician sees the invisible and sometimes hears the inaudible.
I mean, thank goodness for you and thank goodness for this phone call. Like, it's just like clearing the clouds from my brain.
Look, I'm going to ask the question again, and we're going to say goodbye, but it is the question that you didn't answer, which is, where does your challenge come from? Because you could say, you know, saying no is difficult for me, so I found a person with whom I can practice that muscle.
Right.
These things are a mind fuck.
Yeah.
But you may want to say, I want to practice my no, and I found the best place to do so because here is a person who doesn't hear any of them. So I practice boundaries with somebody who doesn't respect any of them or sees them all as an attack on him or sees them as a weakness of mine, but they're all qualified. Or you may say, that doesn't have to be the way I'm looking for a relationship. I know you're 35 and I know that you love him and I know that you think you've had your share. But maybe that should bring you also a level of awareness that says, is this how I want to live?
I think that's the thing. It's like, I don't know how I'll have a healthy and wholesome relationship. I just keep on seem to get like battered or something.
Why me, smart, accomplished, professional, insightful, autonomous woman, find myself in relationships with men where I end up in this kind of battered position? That is a very powerful question.
Yeah.
And how do I learn to see it sooner rather than later?
Yeah.
And how do I say, I'm breaking the cycle, and then act on it? Is this a good place to stop?
In my head, I'm only just beginning.
Because I'm leaving you with some big questions rather than slap answers. Because you have the answer to the question that you came with. You know the answer before you came. To what is the cycle that you are repeating? We didn't get to, but we suspect there is one, because this is not your first time. Mm. Different melodies for the same dance. If we were seeing each other regularly, this would be the moment where I say to be continued.
Mm.
But it will be continued, but without me. Yeah. But I'm inviting you to take this and do something with it.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Where Should We Begin with Esther Perel is produced by Magnificent Noise. We're part of the Vox Media Podcast Network in partnership with New York Magazine and The Cut. Our production staff includes Eric Newsom, Eva Walchover, Destry Sibley, Huete Gatana, Sabrina Farhi, Eleanor Kagan, Kristen Muller, and Julian Hatt. Original music and additional production by Paul Schneider. And the executive producers of Where Should We Begin are Esther Perel and Jesse Baker. We'd also like to thank Courtney Hamilton, Mary Alice Miller, Jen Marler, and Jack Saul.
This episode of Where Should We Begin is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Get your quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.